Welcome back to Through the Word. I'm your host, Peyton Jones, and today we'll be in 1 Chronicles chapter 10. Through the Word, it's with a heavy heart that I bring you the sad news that there will be no more genealogies in our studies in the book of 1 Chronicles. I know. Listen, I'm a pastor and a psych nurse. I'm well-versed in grief counseling. Now, you might feel that this is a strange place to put Saul's story at the end of the genealogies. But here's the dealio. We're going to be introduced to David as the model of faithfulness, and he contrasts with Saul, who did not seek God. In fact, the whole nation was more like Saul for generations, and the call of Chronicles, when they head back into the land, is to get them to be more like David. Did you know that search and rescue teams report that over 90% of people who get lost in the wilderness were actually on the right path, but they gave up too soon and wandered off somewhere off the path? If they'd only kept going, trusting in the path before them, they'd have been safe. Now, Saul was someone who walked off the path repeatedly and way too much and way too soon. In fact, in this chapter, it ends with Saul taking his life. The heading of this chapter reads, Saul takes his own life. Saul was always kind of a rash character, and that was more of his problem. And in the end, his death is caused by a rash action. You know, the Bible says, he who believes will not make haste. And what that means is someone who believes can just quietly, confidently rest in the deliverance of God. They're not like the white rabbit scurrying around, I'm late. The scurrying about, never seeming to have enough time, always being frenzied and frazzled. Well, that was how Saul was. He was a fretter. He worried and fretted like Martha about many things. Did you know statistically 99% of what we fear never happens? But when one out of about 100 bad things we fear finally comes to pass, we feel justified and we say, see, I told you. One of the things that Saul was actually fearful of and terrified about was that David would come and usurp his throne and take it from him. But nothing could have been further from the truth. David loved Saul, and even when Saul acted his enemy, David continued to show loyalty and love to Saul. In fact, when Saul died, David mourned him and wrote him a psalm about what a brave warrior, godly king, and even good friend Saul was. But because Saul was suspicious and fearful and wasn't trusting God, Saul's repeated pattern of his own kingship was that he took things into his own hands rather than handing them into God's hands. Depending on where we're at with God at the time, crisis either drives us to God or it drives us from God. But you know, the crisis itself is more passive. It doesn't actually drive us in any direction. We drive ourselves during crisis in whatever direction we choose, like staying on the path or rashly running off of it into the wilderness trying to save ourselves. For example, when the storm gets big, do you trust him who created the storms? Like the disciples in the boat who freaked out when Jesus was right next to him? Do you run around like Bill Paxton, Aliens, screaming, we're all going to die. Game over, man. Game over. You know, this past week, I've been thinking a lot about my own time with God. I'm facing something right now that seems like it's an unsurmountable task. I'm writing a church planning textbook that's 400 pages long. And so naturally, I want to spend every waking moment spinning myself, solving all of my own problems, doing all of my own tasks, and mastering them. I want to take matters into my own hands. More time. I'm late. And I want to skip my time with God. That's a bit like Saul, skipping out on seeking God and just trusting that everything will be fine. I'll just take these matters into my own hands and it won't let me down. Well, unfortunately, that's not what happens with Saul. Saul doesn't consult God on going to battle, or if he does, he disobeys God when he does. And in his final battle, as he lays there wounded and dying, knowing that they will torture him and cruelly flay him to bits, Saul decides to kill himself. Actually, what Saul does is he falls on his own sword. And he does that because nobody will touch him. The proverb reads, "Touch not the Lord's anointed." And Saul couldn't find anyone who was willing to face the wrath and anger of God by killing the king of Israel. Therefore, Saul fell on his own sword, but it wounded him further. It didn't kill him. So he begged everyone around him to finish him off. And finally, a man came, but he wasn't an Israelite. Later, he goes and tells David, "I killed your enemy, Saul." And David is wounded to the heart. And he kills that man and says, "How dare you touch the king of Israel?" And David writes a beautiful psalm about Saul, the warrior king. Remember that David the king would be a warrior poet. And he composed this following song called the funeral song for Saul and his best friend, Jonathan. "Your pride and joy, O Israel, lies dead on the hills. Oh, how the mighty have fallen. Don't announce the news in Gath. Don't proclaim in the streets of Ashkelon, or the daughters of the Philistines will rejoice, and pagans will laugh in triumph. But mountains of Gilboa, let there be no dew or rain upon you, nor fruitful fields producing offerings of grain, for there the shield of the mighty heroes was defiled. The shield of Saul will no longer be anointed with oil. The bow of Jonathan was powerful, and the sword of Saul did its mighty work. They shed the blood of their enemies. They pierced the bodies of mighty heroes. How beloved and gracious were Saul and Jonathan. They were together in life and death. They were swifter than eagles, stronger than lions. O women of Israel, weep for Saul, for he dressed you in luxurious scarlet clothing, in garments decorated with gold. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen in battle. Jonathan lies dead on the hills. How I weep for you, my brother Jonathan. Oh, how much I loved you, and your love for me was deep, deeper than the love of women. Oh, how the mighty heroes have fallen, stripped of their weapons. They lie dead." What a beautiful picture of someone who knows how to forgive, like Jesus, who knows, like Jesus as well, how to overlook our sins and faults and slights done against him, and to simply heap praise upon those he loves. For that's what he does for you and for me. He chooses to take our greatest qualities and to allow those to live for eternity, as we've already said in this book. And Saul is a picture of somebody who is loved even though he's flawed, just like you and just like me. You know, I've had many friends that have taken their own life, and if you're ever tempted to do that, please understand that, like Saul, that is taking your life into your own hands and not allowing God to come through and show himself victorious. I pray that you would never come to that place. And if you do, seek help. Ask people. Call the suicide hotline. Call your pastor. Whatever you do, don't give up and don't lose hope. Stick on the path. Well, that's the end of our time on Through the Word today. We've been in chapter 10, and I'll see you tomorrow in 1 Chronicles chapter 11 as we continue our journey through the Word.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Our apps are free, so tell a friend. We're listener-supported, so thanks for giving. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.